In the name of Jesus. Peter, John, and James were commanded by the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration to listen to Jesus. But why? Why should they listen to Jesus in bringing it into our own day? Why should you listen to Jesus? Why should you care about what Jesus has to say through his word to you? I think the Gloria in Excelsis, which we sang earlier in our liturgy, gives us an answer to this. Jesus, according to the Gloria in Excelsis, is Lord. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Lamb of God, the Son of the Father. He is the one that taketh away the sin of the world, your sin and mine. He is the one who has mercy upon us. Again, he is the one who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, in his exalted human nature, sits at the right hand of God in the place of power and authority. His human nature was glorified in the resurrection. His human nature has ascended, along with the divine nature, of course, to the right hand of God, the place of authority and power. And from there, he is able to direct your life. He is there to speak to you through his word. He is there to extend to you his saving, merciful gifts in baptism, in absolution, and in the Holy Supper of his body and blood. Jesus is God the Father's Son, God the Father's chosen one, and what God the Father said to Peter, John, and James, he says to us as well. Listen to him. The transfiguration of our Lord was a wonderful experience. There in the transfiguration, his divine nature as God from all eternity shone forth through his human nature. The glory of the divine nature was on display. When the Son of God became man, he did not make full use of his divine power as true man. He only used that divine power and majesty according to his own will, according to the Father's will. Earlier, 8 days earlier, Jesus had asked the disciples who they thought he was. Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus told the disciples, "Okay, yeah, you're right, Peter. But don't tell anyone yet that I am the Christ." He said this because people had a false idea of what the Christ, the Messiah, would do when he appeared. They believed that he would rule and establish an earthly kingdom, that he would conquer all of Israel's enemies, all the enemies of the Jews. They believed that the good times would be here to stay when the Messiah came. But that was not the Messiah that Jesus was. That is not the type of Messiah that God intended him to be. Immediately after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be handed over to sinful men that he was going to suffer and die. This staggered the mind of the disciples. They pictured a transcendent Jesus, a transcendent Messiah, not one who would suffer and die. In fact, Matthew tells us that Peter said, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Simon Peter wasn't listening to Jesus. Jesus turned on Simon Peter quickly, ferociously, and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men, not the things of God. You're seeking glory before glory can rightly come. I came to die, Simon. I came to die as the Lamb of God, the final perfect sacrifice that takes away the world's sins." When Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Get behind me," he was saying, "Get in the place of discipleship. Follow me." But then Jesus said something that really must have hit the disciples hard. "If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, his desires. Let him put his sinful nature to death. For what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" And then 8 days later, 8 days after these words, Jesus takes with him Peter and John and James up on the mountain of Transfiguration to pray. And there, Peter, John, and James saw something amazing. They saw Jesus transfigured before their very eyes. The appearance of his face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. And wonder of wonders, two men appeared talking to him, Moses and Elijah. The evangelists don't tell us how Peter, John, and James recognized these men as Moses and Elijah. Maybe Jesus told them later. Who knows? But the point in, the two chief representatives of the Old Testament law and prophets appeared with Jesus and were talking with him, were engaged in conversation with him, were in glory with him. And according to our text, spoke of his departure. Departure is a lousy translation. Yeah, Jesus was going to depart this world by way of the cross, resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the throne of God. But the word that is translated departure is literally, actually, exodus. Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus in glory and spoke of his exodus. That's a word that sets off all sorts of bells in our minds. You know how Moses was used by God to bring Israel out of their slavery and suffering and bondage in Egypt. That was a wonderful exodus. God formed his own people by his exodus. And when he brought them to Sinai and the law was given through Moses. But the exodus that Jesus is going to accomplish is not just his own exodus. It's your exodus too. Your exodus from the domain of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. Your exodus from bondage to sin and death and hell. Your exodus to the promised land of heaven, the promised land of the new heavens and the new earth, where you too will appear glorified with Jesus. When Jesus was glorified before the disciples' eyes, again, this was as true man. His divine nature had this glory from all eternity. But that is a picture of what awaits you. You, who must deny yourselves in this world. You, who must take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. You, who are called to listen to His word, to be present with Him as He is present with you in the divine service through word and sacrament. Many, many Christians throughout the history of the church have had to suffer dreadfully for the faith, have given up their lives, have died in awful ways. Maybe some of us will experience that, maybe not. That's according to the Lord, in His hands, not ours. But again, all Christians are to follow Jesus in the way of the cross, through good times and bad, to the very end of their lives, marked by the sign of the cross. The Christian dies and enters into the glory of God's presence. What the disciples saw there on the mountain when they beheld Jesus transfigured is what the saints in heaven are experiencing now. They see the glory of the Lord, but they reflect that glory perfectly. It's good times. Good times after our pilgrimage through this world. Good times in the presence of God. A cloud overshadowed Jesus and Peter and James and John on the mountain after Peter had said, "Hey Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build three tents so we can stay up here forever. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But the cloud, representing the presence of God, the glory of God, the majesty of God, overshadowed them, much as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, mother of our Lord, as she conceived and bore the Christ. "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to Him." Jesus is the one God has chosen to be your Savior. Jesus is the one God has chosen through whom He can be merciful and is merciful to you. Doesn't matter your sin. Jesus died for that sin. Jesus has taken that sin away. You are free. Free from bondage in Christ. Listen to Jesus. And it's interesting that the next to the last verse, well, the last verse actually, of today's gospel reading says, "When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone." The only other person Peter, John, and James could see was Jesus. That's not accidental. Jesus is the center and foundation of our faith. You are saved through Christ alone. You are forgiven through Christ alone. You will be glorified through Christ alone. The Lamb of God, who came down from heaven as the bread of God, who gives life to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.